us. So let's pray as we get into God's word. Father, we thank you so much that you are a God who speaks to us. And I pray that as we examine your word this day, that your Holy Spirit would move in us, that you would open our eyes to behold the beauty and the truth and the majesty of your Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. Thursday, I think, is New Year's Day. Is that right? We're coming up very quickly to the end of the year. And a new year provides all kinds of wonderful opportunities for new starts and fresh beginnings. I use a Bible reading app on my phone, and the commentary for the first day of the year, every year the commentator talks about his experience on January 1st at his local gym. And he says that every year on the 1st of January, the gym that he goes to carts a whole lot of extra equipment in to the gym, because the first few days the place is totally packed out with people. And then about a week or so later, the place resumes to normality and they move all the extra equipment out and put it into storage for the rest of the year. I remember living in our old house in Huonville. We lived on a hill, and from our living room, we could see further up in the hill in the distance. There was a few years in a row on New Year's Day, in the first few days of the year, we'd watch this family do laps of their steep driveway. They'd run up and then run down and run up and up and down and up and down. They'd do it for a couple of hours a day. And then about January 4th or 5th, it would stop. I'm not a creepy neighbour, I promise. As we enter into the new year this week, we're provided with this new opportunity for a fresh start in all kinds of areas of our lives. And even though it's just a date, it's psychologically, it gives us a chance to start afresh, to start things over and to have a new beginning in different areas of our lives. And so many of us, myself included, we attempt to have these New Year's resolutions to become better people, maybe to improve our happiness. We might want to eat better or read more or save some money or get a new job or be a better friend to people or do some more reading. And they're all kind of good things for us to do. But for whatever reason, like going to the gym or doing laps up and down your steep driveway, we can't seem to be able to keep them. We make these resolutions in the hope that we're going to better ourselves and be happier, healthier, better people. And we want to live a more fulfilling life. But if only we're a bit fitter or a bit stronger, or if we got more sleep or we're eating better, then somehow we'll be more happy with ourselves. We're always pursuing this more content, happy life. In fact, I think it's this pursuit of happiness that's the aim of so many people in our society. But every year, about a week into January, we realize that doing these things is actually hard work, and they don't make us that much happier anyway. And then we go through another year and we get to the end and we think, oh, I'm just as unfulfilled as I was last year. Because usually all of our New Year's resolutions are self-centered ways to achieving happiness. They're entirely focused on bettering ourselves. As we live in this world that longs for happiness and fulfillment and contentment, the psalmist in Psalm 1 this morning presents an outline for how we as humans can find true contentment, true joy, indeed this deep-seated happiness in our lives. In fact, we see it in the very first words of the psalm. And if you've got your Bible there, please open it up to Psalm 1. You might want to pull out your phone if you don't have a Bible and open up Psalm 1, because I don't have any slides for you. Psalm 1, verse 1. The psalmist starts off by saying, "Blessed is the one." Blessed is the one. Now, blessed means to have this total sense of fulfillment and joy and ultimate satisfaction in your life. Blessedness is the state that God created us to be in. And it's also the state that our hearts long to be in as well. Some translations use the word happy or fortunate, but here in the NIV it says blessed. Blessedness describes this life of total delight, fruitfulness, a deep sense of true satisfaction and worth. The psalmist, as he's writing this psalm, he knows that blessedness is such a desired and right state for the human heart that he grabs our attention in the first few words of the psalm. In fact, the first few words of the whole book of Psalms, it says, blessed is the one who does these things. And so if we want to be people who seek after and achieve true blessedness, true fulfillment, deep-seated happiness in our lives in 2026, let's look at what the psalmist says. And we're going to see broadly it's broken down to two areas. Firstly, blessedness requires us to control our allegiances. And secondly, blessedness comes from a focused attention on God and his teaching. Requires us to control our allegiances and have a focused attention on the Lord and his teaching. Going to the gym more, getting more sleep, doing your laps of your driveway, they're all good things, but it's not going to lead to true blessedness. So let's look at what the psalmist says. Verse 1, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers. Now, from the outset here, the psalmist shows us that being in this state of blessedness requires us to control our allegiances. As God's people, we're to be careful about the kind of people we associate with and put ourselves under, who we allow to influence us, and how these people might encourage us to behave. One author describes these things in verse 1 as the three potholes on the road to blessedness that we need to be careful for, that we need to look out for, rather. And the first pothole, the first thing we're to look out as God's people on this road to blessedness, is walking in step with the wicked. Walking in step with the wicked, it's imitating and copying and allowing ourselves to be influenced and guided by those who are not of God. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, says the psalmist. He's saying, don't let ungodly, wicked people tell you how to live. Don't walk with them. Don't walk alongside them. In the New Testament, we see a similar kind of teaching when the Apostle Paul is talking about false teachers in 2 Corinthians. He says, don't be yoked with unbelievers. He says, for what do righteousness and wickedness have in common, or what fellowship can light have with darkness? Like the psalmist in Psalm 1, he's warning God's people to not allow our lives to be guided by and influenced by those who do not know God and who act against him and his ways. Now, this doesn't, of course, mean that we're to live a kind of monastic lifestyle away from the world, separated from everybody. We're to look at the life of Jesus and how he lived. He engaged with people. He had meals with people who didn't believe in him. He showed love to them. He didn't hide away in a cave. And so as Christians, we're called to be in the world, but Jesus doesn't also allow his life or calling or ministry to be dictated or influenced or guided by those who are wicked. Everything Jesus does is about the will of his Father and bringing honor and glory to him and obeying his Father. And as God's people, we're called to live wise lives which don't allow the wicked to influence us. Well, the second pothole on the road to blessedness for a Christian is conforming to the example of sinners. See the third line in verse 1, the blessed one does not stand in the way that sinners take. That is actively being involved in a way of life that is not honouring to God. Again, there's this message of not allowing ourselves to be influenced by the ways of the wicked or copying what they do. And thirdly, we're told that blessed is the one who does not sit in the company of mockers. That is, don't be known as one of those people, those who hang out with those who continually mock God and his ways, who insult God's people. In the ancient world, where you sit is where you belong. Don't belong with those who mock God and his ways. Be wise in who you associate with and who you spend time with. We're to notice as we're reading through verse 1 that there are three verbs in the verse. For those who didn't listen in high school, verbs are doing words. And the verbs in verse 1 are walk, sit, stand. There's this whole of life approach, isn't there, here in verse 1? All of life. Whatever you're doing, however you're living, don't let ungodly, evil people influence the way you live and the way you think. Keep your distance, says the psalmist, because they're the potholes on the road to blessedness. Maybe actually our New Year's resolution needs to be to remove yourself from the bad influence of some people. It's not a popular New Year's resolution to tell people, is it? I'm avoiding you. Maybe it's time to have some boundaries and keep your distance from those who know that you know are pulling you away from God and his ways. You know they're leading you into dodgy business practices. You know that a night out on the town with these people is leading you to behave in ways that you know are not right or honouring to God. But maybe it's time to stop allowing these people to have the kind of ungodly sway in your life that they currently have. We're surrounded by people, we're all surrounded by people who pull us in different directions, and sometimes there are people who try and pull us away from living a godly life, and the psalmist is warning us that giving into that direction, giving into those who have sway in our lives, will not lead to a life of blessedness. And if you give into them, then you won't find that true state of blessedness as a psalmist. So the first step into entering a true, happy, blessed state is to avoid the enticements and entanglements of the wicked. But it's not just about what we avoid, it's about what we embrace. The second half, which is our true blessedness, comes from a focused attention on God and his ways. Verses 2 and 3, which follow on from the first line, which is, so it's blessed be the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. So blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord. This word delight is this strong desire to have something or do something. The psalmist is speaking of this joyful, wholehearted, all of life commitment to God's instructions for our lives. Now, the law of the Lord, when he's talking about this, it's not just the part of Scripture where the rules are. No, it's talking about the whole message of Scripture. Notice that there's no sense in here from the psalmist of God's law being this rigid or discouraging burden that he cannot bear. It's not a heavy cloud making him feel guilty for not being good enough or not doing enough to please God. It's not about this compelled legalistic observance. The psalmist doesn't say, blessed is the one who tries really hard and tries their best to keep God's laws. No, the psalmist has this joyful, wholehearted commitment to God's instructions for his life. He loves it. the psalmist delights in the law of the Lord. He can't stop thinking about it. Back in Deuteronomy 6 in the Old Testament, after God gives Moses the Ten Commandments, God says this. He says, "These commandments I give to you are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up." And then Joshua, once he takes over from Moses, God says to him, he says, "Keep the book of the law on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it." Then, he says to Joshua, "Then you'll be prosperous and successful." As God's people, if we want to live prosperous and successful and blessed lives, then we delight in the law of the Lord. And I wonder if you, in good conscience, could say that you truly delight in the law of the Lord. Do you love reading God's word? Does your heart leap when it's talked about? Does it fill you with gladness to think about and dwell on and meditate on the words of Scripture and to think about what God has done throughout history? Do you delight in the way that God directs your life? Maybe your New Year's resolution should be to get into God's word more. You see, this state of true blessedness, of true happiness, doesn't come from pursuing blessedness or happiness. True blessedness is a byproduct of pursuing God himself. And so as you pursue God and his word and his ways, then you experience true blessedness. And the psalmist tells us, he says, this is the best place you can possibly be with this illustration. He says, that person, if you avoid the wicked and embrace the word of God, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. The best place you can possibly be in 2026 is to ground yourself, to put your roots down deep, and to soak up these streams of water. Notice how blessedness doesn't come from within yourself. It doesn't come by what you do. It comes from what you're rooted in. And it comes by soaking up something that's outside of yourself. Soaking up God's ways, soaking up God's words into your life. I want to note too that those who do delight in the law of the Lord in this illustration, they don't yield fruit all the time. They yield fruit in seasons. Soaking up the word of God doesn't mean that you're never going to come across hard times, but when the heat comes, when the drought comes, when suffering becomes real, our roots have access to and draw from the depths of God's words. At the end of the day, we see that the psalmist only gives one of two options. We can only have it one of two ways as humans. You see, you can either have this abundant, prosperous, blessed life as we avoid the wicked and be rooted in God's ways. Or, the psalmist says, you can be like the wicked, who are chaff that the wind blows away and leads to destruction. And he says, the wicked and sinners will not stand on the day of judgment. What are you rooted in? Are you rooted in God's laws? Are you rooted in what God has done for you, the freedom of the gospel of Jesus Christ, knowing that your sins have been forgiven by his work on the cross, knowing that you've got the Holy Spirit living and working in you as you go to God and his word each and every day? Or is your life rooted in something else? If we want the abundant, fulfilled, deeply rooted life. We've got to develop a love for God and His Word. So I want to close by suggesting a few practical things to help get you there. Firstly, pray for it. King David, in Psalm 119, he says this to God as he prays. He says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." David knows that God's got the power to open his eyes, to help him see the truths and realities of his word. He says, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." Wouldn't it be great if we resolve to pray that every single day? We pray that every single time we open God's word. Pray these words, "Open my eyes that I may behold wonderful things from your law." Ask God to give you a sense of wonder and delight in his word. Pray for it. Secondly, you've got to actually do it. Read your Bible. Statistics from the Australian Church tell us that about 20% of people who go to church regularly in Australia read their Bibles daily or most days. 20%. The same survey showed that almost 40% of people regularly going to church, this isn't just the public, these are churchgoers, 40% of churchgoers in Australia hardly ever or never read the Bible. 40%. Chances are pretty high that's you. I'm not here to guilt trip you or make you feel bad, but if you're a follower of Jesus, if you claim to be following Jesus as your Lord and King, and you're not in the Word, if you're not reading about God and about His promises, if you're not delving into the life of Jesus and what He means for you, then what are you rooting yourself in? If you're not rooted in God's word, then you are rooted in something else, whether it's your own pleasure or your own entertainment or your own relaxation or your own self-help strategies or making money or fitness. It is time, if you're a believer, to get back into God's word. 2026 is your moment to read God's word regularly, to cultivate a love for what God is saying to us. It's time to start, or for you it might be time to restart, and go to God and ask Him to open our eyes that we may behold wonderful things from His law. We make so many excuses, don't we? My Bible's too old. As if it like expires or something. My app didn't work today. It needs updating. I just went to bed too late. I just can't find it. My life's too busy to read the Bible. I've already read the Bible. There's nothing new in it. In fact, someone in church once told me, not this church, that they said, "I don't need to read the Bible anymore." They're in the 60s. They said, I read it when I was a teenager, and I know what's in it now. Whatever works for you, get into God's Word. Just start. Just pick a book of the Bible, read a chapter, get someone to keep you accountable. Treasure God's Word. Keep reading, even when it gets hard, even when it doesn't make sense. Keep up with it. And this afternoon, you're going to get an email if you're on the email list with a whole lot of ideas about how you can get into God's Word this next year. But finally, so it's prayer, actually do it, and then think about, dwell on, meditate on what you read. We need to allow God's word to transform our hearts, to direct our steps and change our lives in the way that we sit, walk and stand. All of life is all about Jesus. Three things: pray about it, just do it, and think about it. In that order. No other New Year's resolution is going to make us a better person. Nothing else will give us true happiness and blessedness. The key is right there in Psalm 1. This is how you become a blessed person. Avoiding the wicked and being firmly rooted and established in God's words and God's ways. Let's pray. Oh, Father, we praise you and thank you that you are a God who speaks to us by your word. Lord, we thank you for these words from Psalm 1. And Father, they're challenging as we think about who has influence and sway in our lives. Give us wisdom and discernment. Lord, help us to know what is of you and what is not. Lord, give us the grace and the resolve to do what is right and what you're calling us to. And I pray, Father, that you would give us a renewed love for your word. I pray, Lord, that we wouldn't be legalistic or do things out of guilt, but that we would seek after you and your word because we love you. And we're so thankful for all that you've done for us. Lord, open the eyes of our heart that we may behold wonderful things from your law this next year. May you transform us and change us and renew us for your glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
Let's stand and praise our Father.